This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. The Trump administration is asking a federal court to undo the entire Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Here's President Donald Trump explaining his reasons today.
Obamacare doesn't work. It's too expensive. And the you take a look at everything with deductibles. It's a disaster. It's a disaster for our people. We're not going to allow it to go.
Meanwhile, Democrats are rallying to support President Obama's signature achievement with a proposal in the House to strengthen key aspects of the ACA. Now, these moves come against the backdrop of a serious debate within the Democratic Party over proposals to upend the whole system, with a government insurance plan to cover all Americans, sometimes referred to as single payer or Medicare for all. And WBUR Common Health host Carrie Goldberg is in the studio now to talk about the future of healthcare. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Jamie.
So you hosted a panel on the idea of Medicare for all at WBUR City Space last night, and we'll get to that in a second. But give us the latest on this sort of back and forth in Washington over Obamacare, the ACA.
Well, so I think many people believe that the fight over repealing the Affordable Care Act was over after a Republican repeal bill was voted down in the Senate a couple of years ago. You probably remember that famous moment when the late Senator John McCain put his thumb down.
For which the president still hasn't forgiven him.
Yes, correct. And he cast that decisive vote. But no, it turns out it's not over. With this Justice Department filing, the Trump administration is showing itself to still be deeply serious about trying to get rid of Obamacare. And essentially, the administration will be joining a group of Republican attorneys general in a lawsuit to try to invalidate the entire Affordable Care Act. Now, it's important to say that though the president and Republicans have been talking about undoing Obamacare for a long time, they have not clearly put out what they'd like to see in its place.
Right. So the president's returning to, you know, to talking about and doing something that he promised he would do on the campaign trail in 2016. But as we said, Democrats, some of the folks who were maybe hoping to replace him in 2020, they also, some of them, want to replace Obamacare. And that was the topic of your panel last night.
Right.
So what are the rival proposals within the Democratic Party?
So within the Democratic Party, there's basically a split between those who support what you mentioned is called Medicare for All, and those who are now proposing much more of an incremental kind of improvement plan for the Affordable Care Act. Now, on my panel last night, this was by no means a reflection of the full spectrum of views out there. You know, there is plenty of opposition to the whole idea of single payer or Medicare for All. But I was curious, given this really notable new wave of energy that you can feel around the idea of Medicare for All, I was curious to bring in some of that young idealism and pit it against some older idealists who have been what I would call mugged by reality.
A little Irving Kristol chestnut there. Thank you. You can always quote him to me.
Yeah.
But so by mugged by reality, you mean people who have been in the trenches and seen maybe how hard it is to get something like a compromise, like the Affordable Care Act, to even pass and then keep it funded and supported, right?
Exactly. And also the political reality that at the state level, efforts to bring in single-payer health care have either failed at the ballot box or, in the case of Vermont, the state really tried to bring in a single-payer system a few years ago, but it ran into financial reality and it died.
So we always hear that the idea of a single payer or Medicare for all, you know, tends to be very popular in the polls.
It is.
But once again, it was doomed by economics?
Yes, in this case. And also, as one of our guests pointed out, you know, there can often be some confusion about terms. So this is Brown professor Anya Rader-Wallach, who worked on the Vermont effort.
We talk about Medicare for all. That's kind of the catchphrase now in the presidential race. But I don't think that what most people are advocating for is Medicare for all. And certainly that was not the case in Vermont. Medicare is really not such great insurance. So what people really want, and particularly a lot of the strongest advocates for single payer, is something that's much richer than that, which is makes sense because you don't want to switch to taxes and have people still have to pay a whole lot out of their pocket.
And she says, you know, it's tough when you get to what she calls the big reveal, which is the big single-payer price tag, because that new tax has to include a lot of healthcare costs that have been kind of hidden in things like health insurance that employers pay for.
So price tag is an obvious challenge.
Big
it's
one.
Always a problem in healthcare. We talk about it a lot on this show. But let's get back to the politics. What about that side of it?
So Harvard School of Public Health professor John McDonough takes this very historical perspective, both from his time he was working on Obamacare in the Capitol and going many decades back. And he says he sees this pattern of betting a whole lot of political capital on healthcare reform sometimes, and sometimes paying a high political price. So one of his prime examples of that is that after the Clinton White House put a lot of its eggs into the health reform basket in the early 90s, they lost the House and the Senate.
There was an opportunity cost to going for this and losing. I mean, I assume everybody here wants something big to happen, whether it's single payer or something else, but you probably also care about climate change. You care about voting rights. You care about tax reform, education reform, ethics and government reform, on and on and on. But if you go into this, you might lose everything.
So he really highlighted the possibility of a sort of a big picture political price. Now, our single payer champion at this event was Dr. Adam Gaffney. He's the new president of Physicians for a National Health Plan. And his response to John McDonough was, look, you know, nobody says it's going to be easy, but sweeping change does and can happen.
There has been instances in American history of enormous changes that people never saw coming. I think you look at the civil rights movement as one example. Certainly in the 19th century, the end of slavery, even, you know, marriage equality. There are big changes that happen over time. And the best way to get to where you want to go is to hold out a very clear vision.
Okay, so a clear vision, dream big. Mm-hmm. But we know with big dreams sometimes come big pushback, right?
Yes. And here is Professor McDonough again, who I said, no, it does believe in the idea of universal health care, but he says the state-level efforts and the Clinton plan and Obamacare have shown that when moves in this direction gain traction, they can unleash incredible forces of opposition from the existing health care system.
It's almost like, you know, you start this battle and somebody opens a gate, the gate of hell, and all of these incredible monsters come floods, worse than Game of Thrones. I mean, it's just crazy what comes out.
Worse than Game of Thrones.
That's pretty
bad. I felt like winter is ending, not coming. So in other words, a very tough battle.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, all of this is kind of an initial taste of what's likely to be a great big national conversation over the coming months through the campaign season, because several of the, I can't even count them, the innumerable Democratic candidates are proposing single-payer or Medicare for All plan.
So I'm glad you brought it back to where we began with politics and this push to replace the ACA in Washington and the Democratic push for something new. So did your guests last night reach any kind of aha moment or agreement moving forward on this idea?
Not really, but they did. Sorry, but they did. It's the beginning of the conversation, okay. Jamie, but they did make concluding remarks. So here's a little taste of them from Anya Rader-Wallach, Adam Gaffney, and John McDonough.
It's a terrible system in so many ways, and yet it's really good at hiding its own flaws so that we don't have rational conversations about what's right and what the real solutions are.
I don't deny the political barriers that are ahead, and I don't think that it's easy, and I think that there are major discussions that need to happen. But I don't think this is impossible to accomplish. I know we can accomplish it.
On healthcare, I believe that the most important burning questions on the majority of Americans' minds can be addressed and fixed through the Affordable Care Act without burning down the house.
Well, an early taste there of a continued national conversation on healthcare, and hopefully we don't burn down the house. Carrie Goldberg is host of WBUR's Common Health, and you can find a link to the full discussion about single-payer healthcare from last night in WBUR City Space. There's a link at our website, radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Jamie.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.